And as a result of being here, I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, will be growing spiritually and having a closer walk with you, a sweeter fellowship with you. That's the purpose of it all. So we're just thankful, Lord, that we'll just honor and to glorify you, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we just shifted gears last Sunday, and we're in 1 John chapter 3, and we actually just got into verses 11 through 18. And like I say, we just kind of touched on it just a little bit. And so why don't we go ahead and let's read those verses, and then we'll take a look at what they have to say. So who would read 1 John 3, 11 through 18 for us this morning? John?
For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who is of that wicked and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brother, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brother. He that loveth his brother abideth in death. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is murdered. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love with word, neither with tongue, but in deed and truth.
Okay, thank you, John. Okay, we go back to this topic of love, and get me okay, so John starts off, this is a message that you heard from the beginning. That's how this verse 11 starts off. And why does John say it that way? It's kind of a question there. They had the truth right at the beginning because it was delivered to them by the apostles. The apostles were going around and starting these churches and stuff, and the apostles were preaching the truth. And they had it from the very beginning. They had the truth about the gospel. They had the truth about the person of Christ, about their own sinfulness, about righteousness, obedience, and a truth about love. They'd received that from the apostles. And that's where the church started, when it was founded. They had it from the very beginning, because it was delivered to them by the apostles. However, after some period of time, they had false teachers come in, and they were getting another message. And again, we keep drifting in and out, back and forth. This whole book of 1 John goes back and forth. We're going to go back and cover some topics we've already been studying on. But he's getting back to that. But they had false teachers come in, and they're getting a different message. And again, that is why John was concerned that he wrote this epistle, because there's just some false teaching taking place in the church, and he's trying to get things straightened back out again. And so John says, back up, run this thing back, skip over what you heard, and go all the way back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. This is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. In other words, they're getting this false information, they're starting to believe it, people are starting to get wayward, and John, hey, back up, go back. What did you learn from the apostles? You know, stick with that. Don't listen to this other stuff. You know, and John is, he is trying to keep the purity of the church, spared doctrinally. And he's fighting for that. False teachers might be telling you that, okay, this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The false teachers might be telling you that that doesn't matter. And they're coming in and they're saying a lot of stuff doesn't matter. They may also tell you that you can deny the deity of Christ. and still go to heaven, okay? You can deny the humanity of Christ. That's what the cults do. They take the Bible, and then there is a revelation from an angel or from some supernatural source to somebody who writes that revelation down. And then they bring this new theory, this new doctrine, they bring that into the church. And people are getting confused. And again, they don't have Bibles to study. You know, there's probably one Bible in the whole church. That's the one the preacher used. It is our responsibility to say that is not divine truth. Go back to the original revelation. Go back to the beginning, what the apostles taught. That's what John is essentially saying. The truth doesn't change. And folks, that applies to us today. God's truth, his word, does not change. Now, society's changed. Our values have changed. A lot of stuff has changed with people, with humans. And we can take a look at the world around us and the way things are going. Things have changed. And a lot of us can look over our lifetimes and look back and see what things were like when we were kids. And there's certainly been a lot of changes, mostly for the worse, I might say. And so the truth doesn't change. God's word is going to abide forever. God does not change. His word does not change. When God says don't do it, he means don't do it. And if he says do it, he means do it. And that has not changed. And we need to, a lot of times churches are going more liberal today. They're watering the word of God down. Well, it doesn't really mean it that way, you know. Well, yes, he does. Yes, he does. He did mean it that way. And you're just trying to fit your religiosity into your way of thinking. And God doesn't change. And we need to stand up for the truth. Verse 12. Now he's going to introduce a new concept here. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. So, now having introduced the theme of love in verse 11, John moves to a contrast. And contrasts are very typical of John. Contrasts, you know, you can make a point there. John contrasts the children of the devil with the children of God. You got children of God, children of the devil. You got Abel, you got Cain. So let's start out as John does and look at the characteristics of the children of the devil. All right, we'll look at the characteristics of the children of the devil. They demonstrate the absence of love. The children of the devil. And bear in mind, folks, now these false teachers that I've been talking about, they're of the devil. The devil does not want the truth proclaimed. He's going to distort the truth. And he's a great deceiver, roaring lion. So they demonstrate the absence of love. And the first one that is talked about here is murder. That's the ultimate act of hate, is murder. When you murder somebody. And for what reason did Cain slay Abel? Why did he do it? And it tells us right here in this verse, because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Here is the lowest level that any relationship can ever descend to, is murder. That's the lowest point you can go to. It's characteristics of those who do not know God to be murderous. Cain and Abel had the same parents, Adam and Eve. Same parents. They were raised in the same home. They had the same influences. They were called by the same God to offer a sacrifice. They both brought sacrifices to God. Cain is never presented as an atheist. He's presented as a religious man. And folks, a lot of religious people out there claim to be religious are not godly. And we can get deceived by that very easily. And again, all the way through this book, 1 John, John's talking about how do we know? How can we tell the difference? He's presented as a religious man. He is actually a worshiper of God, the only God they knew about. At that time, they didn't know about false gods. It was only one God. They knew the true God who was creator. They knew the God who had acted in judgment against their parents because of their sin. Adam and Eve would have told them about this. These guys knew these things, okay? They knew the God who had cursed the earth and had put the curse upon the serpent. They knew the God who'd promised that there would be a seed of the woman who would eventually bruise the serpent's head. They knew these things. They knew the one true God. They both did. Cain was not an atheist. He was a religious person. And he came as a worshiper of God with his sacrifice. And we need to understand this. Some of the most murderous people who exist are those who are religious. It wasn't atheists who screamed for Christ's blood and demanded that the Romans crucify him. It was the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders of the day. It was them. They're the ones crying to crucify Christ, stirring up all of, you know, the. Look at the Muslims today. Folks, their religion teaches that if anybody is not a Muslim, they're an infidel. And infidels, there's two choices for an infidel, all right? You either convert to the Muslim religion, or you get your head cut off. That's in their Quran. They had an original Quran, and I guess now they have watered the thing down. They watered the Quran down now to where when people read it today, it's not as emphatic as it was back then. That is their ultimate goal. And folks, we see it going on in the world today. This ethnic cleansing is taking place right now. They're chopping people's heads off. And you either convert to Muslim or we're going to kill you. And that you have a choice. And you make your decision, take all the time you want, but you got about 2 minutes here to make up your mind. And they are religious people. And you know, it always amazes me how serious the Muslims take their religion. It'd be something if we could take ours as serious as they take theirs. And it's a wicked, it's driven by the devil, okay? But, you know, I've heard ex-Muslims speak, and they talk about the plan, the ultimate plan of the Muslim. They're wanting to take over the whole world. And again, they believe part of it, they're waiting for Muhammad, their God, to return. But before Muhammad can return, there's got to be a big stirring up and a big turmoil, a lot of upheaval on planet Earth. But people got to be agitated and mad and rioting and all this. And look at what they're stirring up. Look what's, well, it may not all be them. But, I mean, is there any conflict in the world today? I mean, look at the mess in our own country. We got some of them now in high positions. That's what they want to do is get into high positions, and they're going to start dictating. One of these days, there's going to be more Muslims in our country than there is anybody else, and they're going to be voting. So, anyway, get off of that, Jim. Okay, look at the Muslims today. It was a religionist who, in their own twisted way of worshiping the God of Israel. And again, the Muslims believe a lot of these people that blow themselves up, you know, their belief is that if they are martyrs for Muhammad, when they go to heaven, they're going to be elevated to a much higher position by that sacrifice that they made to promote their God, Muhammad. And they're going to have a higher standing in heaven because they went out and they killed a bunch of people that were infidels. And outward ritual, outward religiosity is no proof that a person is born of God. Cain was a very religious man. He didn't bring the right sacrifice because he had a self-styled religion. You know, God says, bring an animal sacrifice, but I'm going to do it my own way. There's no question that he'd been commanded to bring an animal sacrifice as his brother did. That's why God accepted Abel's sacrifice and didn't accept Cain's. Because Cain didn't bring what God asked, a blood sacrifice. He didn't do it. Rather than bring a sacrifice which God asked, he brought the fruit of the land. And we're all familiar with the story. Cain was doing it his way. He himself had toiled to produce this. And so for him, he was going to make his relationship with God based upon what he had accomplished, his personal efforts. That never gets you to God, but he was a religious man. He failed the test of love. Even though he was not an atheist, even though he was worshiping a true God, he has worshiped him in a wrong way. And he was worshiping God from a wicked heart. And so, the real test of Cain's religion wasn't even his sacrifice. That was one test, but it wasn't the full test. We could say he was trying to get there by works, and that's bad. So why did he kill Abel? And it tells us right here in this passage. And it says in that verse, in verse 12, it says, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Evil people hate the righteous. They do. We can see that in our world today. 3 out of 5 places where Abel is mentioned in the New Testament, he is described as righteous. That's Abel. False teachers are like Cain. They despise the true gospel and righteous people because they do not possess true salvation even though they are religious. They're the children of the devil. God had given clear instructions of how to worship him to these two brothers. God had revealed that this was to be an act which was an animal sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, and not bringing the works of your own hands. And yet Cain rejected God's revelation and decided to do it his own way. So, Cain, he hated his brother because his brother was righteous and he was wicked. That's what the Bible says. And again, wicked people hate righteous people. And we can see that. We can see the persecution of Christians going on. And I mean, even in our own society today, somebody tries to follow the Word of God and all this twisted morality we've got going on in our world. If you don't bake a cake for a homosexual, you can lose your business. You can go to jail, you know. And it's all done in the name of love. You need to love everybody equally and all this type of thing. Satan's alive and well, and anyway, God thunders his disapproval on homosexuality, and if you don't believe that, just go back and read about Sodom and Gomorrah, and what brought Sodom and Gomorrah on, you know, the whole destruction of the city. God is anger, you know. He calls homosexuality a wicked sin. And yet we are prone now to start becoming more and more accepting of it. And we're to love the person and hate the sin. And now that's a lot of times that's easy to say and it's harder to do. And anyway, that's God's way. Homosexuality is a sin. And then we go on into the transgender stuff and all this other. I can't imagine, you know, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? All right, move on to 13. It says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Marvel not. In other words, it's what this is saying, don't be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. He's talking to Christians. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. There's another characteristic of the children of the devil, and that is hatred. First of all, they're murderous. Secondly, now it's hatred. Hatred. And the word marvel here It has to do with something that is shocking, mysterious, and amazing. And so this says here, marvel not. Don't marvel. Don't be shocked like this is something mysterious or amazing. Don't be shocked over it if the world hates you. The hatred of the world is not amazing, it's not shocking, it's not mysterious, it's not hard to figure out. They all have the same father, the devil. So the devil hates us, so the devil's people are going to hate us. He's going to see to it that they hate us. So we're not supposed to be surprised and shocked at these things that take place. And a lot of times I've asked myself, you know, you see people being murdered and stuff, the Muslims, you know, killing these people and just other things, even, anyway, just Christians being slandered and made fun of and mocked and ridiculed. And I, why? Why? I mean, we're the ones that's right. You know, we're not doing anything, we're not murdering people. You know, we're not doing that stuff, and yet they hate us. Why? Why us? And they can, again, they can teach any religion in schools and stuff like that, but the moment you mention Jesus Christ, everything goes ballistic. And I've often wondered why. Okay? Well, John's telling us why right here. Here it is, you know. They all have the same father, the devil. Hatred for believers is a giveaway that you don't know the Lord. If somebody hates believers and they claim to be Christians and they're trying to put down Christianity and stuff like that, folks, it doesn't mix. That's a test. They're not believers. Okay? And it just goes with the territory, what they're going to do. It's because the children of the devil have nothing in common with us. How can two walk together except they be... What? I've lost my train of thought. Agreed. Okay, thank you, John. And every others out there. Okay. Turn to John 15. The Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. And we'll read verses 18 and 19, but keep your finger in John because we're going to come right back to it. So, John 15, verses 18 through 19. And who'd read that for us? Delbert? Okay, thank you, Delbert. All right. The world hates us because it's made up of the children of the devil. It makes sense. Okay? The devil loathes and despises us, so his children feel the same. That's why there's such persecution against Christians. That's why Jesus Christ cannot be mentioned in a lot of other places where they could teach all other religions, teach all the false religions. That's perfectly fine. You know, it's allowed. And I've often wondered, why does God work like he does? He allows this to happen. And I'm just thinking, coming this morning, coming to church. You know, God has got the devil on a leash. And the devil can only go so far. But God has given the devil some room that he can play and work in, you know. And God, it looks like God gives the devil quite a bit of latitude in certain areas. But again, God's got the hand. The devil can only go so far. And I often wonder, God, why do you allow these things to happen? It doesn't seem right. And yet, that's God's business. And God, and again, it's part of getting to know the Word of God and to understand who God is. That's why we study the Word of God, to get to know Him better. And there's just a lot of things that I'm still learning about God. And I will continue to do so, hopefully, till the day I die, you know. But it just seems like, but again, God's ways are perfect, and we've got to understand that. And one of these days, payday is coming. And if somebody gets their head chopped off, there's a special blessing for martyrs. You know, And they're going to have that blessing for eternity. Some that people that are not martyrs, they won't receive that blessing. It's a crown talked about. Anyway, so the devil loathes, despises us Christians, and so his children feel the same. Skip down to John 15, 25. Verse 25. And who'd read that for us? Somebody on this side over here that hasn't read it all for good. Thank you. Folks, I hated Christ. What did Christ do wrong? What did he do wrong? You know, he was sinless. And yet the religious people nailed him to a cross. Right? Okay, they had him nailed. The Jews accused him, but the Jews can't kill a Jew. But the Romans can. And so the Jews got the Romans to do it. The Romans did the crucifying, not the Jews. But they had it done. You know, and so... And Christ said, they hated me. So they're going to, don't be surprised, marvel not if they hate you. And so I'm beginning to understand this whole thing a little bit better as I go through this. And, okay. But they have done this to fill a word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Now go back to 1 John. There's no real reason for the world to hate us. There doesn't have to be. We don't harm the world. There's no reason for people in our society, the elite, the rich, the famous, and the sinful, to hate anybody who is righteous. There's no reason for anybody to hate us, okay? Except for the fact that they manifest that they're the children of the devil. It's a dead giveaway. That's who they are. Cain hated Abel. People hated Jesus. Jewish leaders hated him. They hated the apostles. And they martyred all but one, and they exiled him. They hated it. Now, there's a pattern, folks. And through the history of the church, a church's leaders have been hated. And even today, there are more Christians being persecuted for the cause of Jesus Christ than ever in history. And folks, when I was looking at this concept, that was written, the part I've studied right here was written in 1981. I'll repeat it. And even today, there are more Christians being persecuted for the cause of Jesus Christ than ever in history. And folks, 1981 was like a walk in the park compared to what we have today. Tens of thousands dying all over the world under the hateful, murderous people who are the children of the devil. So John is saying, don't be surprised if they hate you. People don't tend to want to be, to become religious or to become righteous, I should say. They don't want it. Don't talk to the hand. I don't want to hear it. The world is tolerant of any other religion. But when you bring up the name of Jesus Christ or the Bible, they go ballistic. Can't do that. You're going to offend somebody. Well, nobody seems to care that if we get offended about something, and if we, you know, we used to could have disagreements with each other, but we could get along. Anymore today, if you don't agree with their way of thinking, I mean, they're going to lock you up in jail, fine you, see that your business is taken away from you. You know, it's crazy. But, okay, God is allowing it, you know, and he is sovereign. And so he's big enough anytime he wants to stop it, he can stop it. So it's happening. So he is obviously allowing it to happen. And so, again, God is a wrathful God. We know he hates sin. And I think a lot of this stuff, God punishes individuals and he punishes nations for their sin. And our nation has definitely turned our back on God, and we deserve his wrath and his punishment as a nation, as a whole. So, marvel not, you know. And I guess I can understand a lot of this stuff better as I kind of go through and study this. And anyway, we're getting ready to move to verse 14. Any questions or comments on anything we've covered this morning so far? It's pretty sick. Charlotte. Okay. I can't hear you, Charlotte. Could you? Yep. And God, and everybody's going to say, when God punishes those Muslims, everybody's going to say, what God is doing is right. And good point, Charlotte, good point. Payday's coming, folks. It's coming. It's on its way. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Yeah. No, it's and you're true. It's the Muslims are the radical, and they say not all, and again, not all Muslims are that radical, you know, but their Quran, their teaching, their religion says you're supposed to do it, and so I would think if a Muslim's wanting to do right, I think they'd leave their religion. You know, I would think, how in the world can you stay in that and say, oh no, I love people, you know, and yet your religion, your Quran, your Bible, you know, tells you you're supposed to God kill these people. So, good point. Yeah, there's not everybody's killing people, and good point. Anything else? Okay, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And here we go back to loving your brother again. And we're going to see that over and over and over again. You know, these different, John just, he brings up a topic and then he leaves it, but then he comes back to it later. And then we leave it and back and forth. Okay, verse 14. Whoever loves is a child of God. Whoever hates is not. Period. We don't want to kill anybody. We don't even hate. We want to bring life to those around us. Our goal should be to see that these people are saved. We want them to go to heaven because God wants them to go to heaven. You know, that is our mindset. We don't hate. We're not wanting to kill them. We want to be the source of blessing to them. That should be the Christian's mindset. We love them because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. God has saved us when we were wretched sinners, and we should be wanting to spread the news. Verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. The word murderer here is a word that means someone who slays a man. Okay? People with murderous attitudes don't have eternal life because eternal life makes you love, not hate. We're supposed to love and not hate. Most people have never murdered anybody, though. Thank goodness. And if I can ever get this page to turn. The only difference between murder and hate is the act in God's eyes. But in God's eyes, hatred is the moral equivalent of murder. You're not off the hook just because you don't kill somebody. this person is a child of the devil, and whether they kill somebody or not, that will show itself in their hatred of others. They're going to go to hell for their hate, whether or not it turns into murder. We're not supposed to hate. Hatred is a moral equivalent of murder. It just doesn't exercise the option. Now, question. Is this saying that if someone commits a murder, they can never be saved? Delbert says no. Any other opinions? It's quiet in here. Okay. All right. The answer is no. Okay. This is saying that if somebody continues with a murderous heart, they are not saved. The Apostle Paul, he was a murderer, right? Was Apostle, do you think Apostle Paul saved? Think we'll see him in heaven? Okay. God is willing to forgive. It's, and again, it goes back to this habitual, continual type thing. Paul was a murderer, wasn't he? Didn't he persecute and kill the Christians? Yes, he did. Okay? He says, I was a blasphemer and a murderer. That's Paul's words about himself. But he repented and he was forgiven. All sinners can be saved. That's not what it's talking about here. Okay? We're not talking about who can be saved. We're talking about who is saved. People with murderous hearts that have never been transformed. They've never been transformed. They're just like Cain. They're the children of the evil one. Not all the children of the devil are evil, and not all of the children of the devil are equally evil in their actions. I mean, there's children of the devil that don't murder people, just like you said. Okay? Not everybody does it. You know, in fact, it's just the extreme radicals that do. And most people are not extreme radicals. They're all characterized by some level of hatred of those who are righteous. But not all of them are driven by the same degree of hate, nor do all of them carry its extreme to the extreme and kill. Not everybody does it. And so we're talking about, where was I here? Yeah, Paul. We said Paul was a murderer. How about David? Now, a lot of his murder was in war, you know, which is okay. But how about Uriah? You know, David is a murderer. How about Moses? Did Moses kill a man? Yeah, okay. Now, again, these people can be saved. And anyway, so it's not saying just because somebody killed a person, that doesn't mean that they're not going to heaven. Okay, verse 16. We got 3 minutes. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's a tough verse. The unsaved are certainly not going to die for somebody. Normally, okay? They might kill somebody, but they're not going to die for somebody. Now, it is rare for an unsaved person, unless that person is utterly swept away in some fit of nobility. Unsaved people do die for others. I mean, we have people in the military, you know. And so it's just the fact that they're not normally going to, they're not willing to give up their lives for somebody else. But again, they do. So I mean, what I'm saying is not a normal mindset for the unsaved people to want to die for somebody. And if they do die, it may be some misguided, selfish act like the terrorist who blows up himself so he can arrive in heaven and receive a much greater blessing. And terrorists believe that. That's why a lot of times these people walk into a mall and blow themselves up. You know, hey, I'm doing it for Allah. You know, doing it for Allah. And false religions and stuff like that. Or so that he could be some kind of a hero. You know, and they may just do that. Hey, I want to be a hero. And again, going back to Muslims again, the Muslims, if somebody goes out and they blow themselves up killing other people, their families will receive a paycheck for the rest of their lives. And they have that set up, and they are funded. And so a guy might say, you know, I'm not worth all that much myself. I'd be a lot better for my family if I'd blow myself up, because then they're going to receive money, compensation for my sacrifice, you know, or I don't know how long it goes, but anyway, they're going to receive money from the government as a thank you for me killing myself. And they actually pay the families of those that blow themselves up. As Christians, if need be, we should be willing to die for the brethren. We should be willing, you know, if that situation arises, we should be willing to die for the brethren. And our time is up. Any questions or comments? Right. That's what I meant to say.
And I think of the disagreements Christians have, brothers, sisters, put that way. And the ultimate disagreement that was not done with a hatred was Paul and Barnabas when they were deciding whether Barnabas wanted Paul to take John Mark tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Disagreement, but according to this, which is this pierces all of us right here, hating a brother.
Yeah.
And that is a disagreement where a brother probably, I'm going to read into it, the hatred wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
If it was done according to the right.
Yeah. And again, I think there's a difference between anger and hatred, you know, so, okay.
Yeah.
Pastor. Okay. Okay. Very good. I appreciate your help. And again, Royce, like what Royce brought up, like I always say, folks, take me for what I mean, not what I say. If you could figure that one out. Okay. I will not be teaching next Sunday. We have a missionary coming next Sunday, and he will have the Sunday school class. And I am always so glad to have missionaries come, because I'd a whole lot rather hear them speak than to hear me. So anyway, let's close the word of prayer. Thank you for coming. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, help us to understand it. Help us, Lord, to live it out. Help us, Lord, not just to be doers or hearers, but to be doers as well. And Father, we're just thankful for your word, and help us, Lord, just to get to know you better and understand you, and Lord, just to realize it and look forward to the day when we hear that trumpet sound. And Lord, payday is coming, and we look forward to that. We just pray now that you'll be with Pastor, Lord, and just be with him as he brings us the morning message. Lord, open our hearts to the message you have for us. And again, Father, we're just thankful for the freedom that we have. And Lord, we're not living in fear and persecution today, but we might be tomorrow. And so help us, Lord, to be ready, and help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.